The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Abolitionist Radio, equipping Christians to abolish human abortion.
You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down. Tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak. And the time is now. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice.
And welcome back to another week of Abolitionist Radio. We want to end abortion in America today, now.
3,000 a day, the greatest evil of our age, is in our hands.
3,000 a day is how many were murdered today and every day this past week. So here we go. Let's get equipped. Let's become doers of the word.
The American people decided to put the Republicans in control.
Top story with Bill Cawley.
I look very much forward to being your president.
Where the news is your opinion.
We're going to be able to get this done. It's going to happen.
Now, here's your host, Bill Cawley, on News Radio 1310 KLIX.
There are some issues in media that get a lot of attention, and you scratch your head and say, that probably doesn't need that much attention. And then along comes a story that gets a lot of attention, and you realize that this is a big enough story that it deserves the attention it's getting and probably more. And when I was reading last week, a story broke that there's a group in northern Idaho, and they're looking to do this statewide. What they're doing is collecting signatures on a petition. The group is called Abolish Abortion Idaho, and the goal is to create a ballot measure which would allow the people of this state, yes or no, to vote about a ban on abortion in Idaho. And it's gotten a lot of attention. I've especially seen it coming from the opposition, who, of course, support this abhorrent practice. They are gearing up, obviously, because they fear that it could change things in this state to the point where I guess they'd all have to leave for California. In the meantime, we're joined this morning by Scott Herndon. He is with Abolish Abortion Idaho. It's 9:07. It's 37 right now on Top Story on KLIX. And first of all, Scott, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate that.
How many signatures do you actually need to get a measure on the ballot statewide?
It is 6% of the number of registered voters from the last general election, which for us now is 56,192. But there's an additional requirement to get 6% of the registered voters in 18 of Idaho's 35 legislative districts. So we have to get one more than half. That way it shows that you've got widespread support for the measure you're trying to pass.
So far, I understand you've had pretty good reaction in the northern part of the state that you've been passing these in the panhandle. Is there a specific number you know that you have roughly right now?
I know for a fact it actually takes a while to get the ballot out there and get people circulating it and then actually get them back. I do know that we have way more than 1,000 signatures, but I don't know how many because I've been told by several people that they've got multiple signature sheets filled, but they haven't mailed them to us yet. So it's hard to say at this point. We have 15 months in to get the remaining signatures required, and you always have to overshoot by about 40%. The reason is they have to be Idaho registered voters, and you actually in Idaho have to have your address on your signature sheet match your registration address. So it's kind of particular here in Idaho.
And for people who are doing this, obviously, when you mention the legislative districts, you need people then fanning out throughout the state because it's not just one number. You've got to get two sets of numbers. So you need volunteers everywhere.
We do, and that's why it's great that you can just download the petition right at our website, abolishabortionid.com, and then any Idaho resident over the age of 18 can circulate the petition, and all the instructions are on the website, and of course, many hands make lighter work.
You know, referencing that website, I think a lot of people out there have obvious access to computers in this day and age. If they go there and they do this, you could likely at least get a lot of people who are involved, let's say, in local churches who might be willing to get behind it. I don't know how many pastors are willing to get behind it, because there's always that concern about the Johnson Amendment and the like. But I would guess that just through those networks, you're already getting the word around.
That is right. We actually have a couple of ministerial associations in a couple of different cities that are involved, and so they're helping to circulate the petition. And then just to be clear, as far as church involvement or any 501c3 being involved, the IRS only has restrictions on campaigning for candidates. They actually will allow churches to use up to 50% of their budget on ballot initiatives. And we have that answer on our website on the frequently asked questions. It's actually a tiered system by which the IRS says you cannot have a substantial amount of what you're doing to support political campaigns that have nothing to do with candidates. So there is that fine line partition, but churches can totally embrace this and actually speak to it from the pulpit and get heavily involved, or any other 501c3, because we're clearly not just targeting Christians, because there are a lot of people in the state of Idaho who think abortion is an abhorrent practice and should be outlawed.
Right. You don't have to have people who go to church every Sunday, and you can have people from other religious faiths, I'm sure, who are on board with the notion that this has to be brought to an end.
Exactly. In fact, there are even some atheists who believe that abortion should be ended. So we welcome, obviously, this is a petition for all Idaho residents and all Idaho registered voters. And so we really want to try to reach out to every possible group that we can and get them involved. And like I say, if they would circulate it amongst their friends, family, and political and church groups and any other group they have, we could probably get the signatures fairly quickly. Statistically, we definitely have enough people in the state of Idaho to get this on the ballot who agree that abortion should always be outlawed. So we just need to reach those people to get it onto the ballot.
It would be helpful, though, if you could perhaps get the Roman Catholic bishop as well as maybe the LDS church on board, because just those two denominations, I would think, could result in more than enough signatures around the state, and they have the reach, if you will, in all of these legislative districts.
Yeah, statistically, both of those denominations represent about 360,000, I believe, at least, Idahoans. And so we do want to get them involved. Now, I do want to speak to a couple of what some of their concerns will be in the Roman Catholic denominations. And that would be that traditionally in the pro-life movement, they have not wanted to punish women. They have tried to paint women as the victims of abortion. And just like any other murder for hire, if a woman hires an assassin to kill her husband, this petition, right now, believe it or not, in Idaho Code, we define murder to include the preborn, embryos and fetuses. That's Idaho Code 18-4001. And then we don't say abortion is not murder. We actually just prohibit prosecution for murder. So this initiative petition, all it's doing is removing the prohibition for prosecution, and then it better defines abortion and how you can end up killing a preborn person in abortion. And so some of the Roman Catholics' concerns, or some others, even in some right-to-life groups, they don't like the idea of punishing women. But I'd like to point out that we are not punishing any women retroactively. It would be enforced from the moment that it's passed. In other words, there will be a future effective date. There's never, according to the Constitution, ex post facto law, which punishes retroactively. So everybody would know that it's now illegal. All the abortion clinics, like in Twin Falls and Meridian, would shut down. You could not get a legal abortion in Idaho. And then that would pretty much end up closing down abortion in Idaho. And there would probably not be a lot of women, knowing it's a potential murder penalty with serious consequences, that would go do it. So that's how I'd like to speak to those Roman Catholics that are concerned about punishing women or any right-to-lifers are. Our goal is not to punish women. Of course, if women go get an illegal abortion and a prosecutor wants to charge them, they will be punished. And they should be, because abortion is murder. But when people know things are murder, they don't tend to go out and commit murder. So that's why currently in Idaho, we only have about 25 murders a year of the born, yet we have 1,751 murders of the preborn. And the difference is, I think, because people do not look at abortion the same way. But if we pass this initiative, they will. And I think we'll see a major drop in abortions in the state of Idaho.
Our guest is Scott Herndon. He's joining us from Abolish Abortion Idaho. We've got we're coming up on 9:15. We've got 35 right now. Bill Colley with you as well on News Radio 1310 KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com. Is 2018 the year you're actually looking to put this on the ballot?
That's exactly right. If we are successful getting the signatures, this would be on the November 2018 ballot, which I believe is November 6, 2018.
And what's the cutoff date? When do you have to actually have the signatures?
So our actual cutoff date is April 19th of 2018. So we have right out into 2018. So I guess we're looking at about 15 more months in order to get all those signatures. We figured the big period, of course, you can be circulating it now. We could probably get this done in a few months if everybody knew about it. But this summer at county fairs, parades, and things of that nature would be a great opportunity to have signature petition circulators out there getting signatures.
Now, when we talk about this, all across the country there are efforts in various states to try and create a law that would end up, and the goal is to have it challenged at the Supreme Court in Washington, with the idea that judicial review could bring an end to reverse Roe v. Wade. Is this potentially that law that could make that happen?
Well, it would certainly bring about a clash at the courts, but believe it or not, I actually do not have much hope with the courts. I believe that based on state sovereignty and our right to defy or ignore courts, that this is really the path that we should be taking. See, I look at it this way. If the court of the United States, the Supreme Court, like it did in the Dred Scott decision of 1857, declares something completely abhorrent, or like Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, basically where they said segregation is okay. When they do something that's completely wrong, and in the case of Roe v. Wade, they completely violate our state's right to protect human life. I mean, that's the inalienable right in the Declaration of Independence. It violates the Ninth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And I think that the state, the governor, and the legislature have a duty, they have an obligation to actually defy the Supreme Court. And the state of Washington does that on...
Seems to be an issue this morning where we're losing, we're dropping calls. I don't think it's on our end, but got a little bit of that going on. Well, let me review with you quickly. We got a couple of minutes before the break. Scott Herndon is with Abolish Abortion Idaho, and his organization is looking to collect these signatures, but they need volunteers to actually pass the petitions, which would bring about a ban, at least bring this to an election, and then create a ban if we get a yes vote, and banning abortion in Idaho. And what you have to do, as he's recommended, is go to the website, and this is what it reads, abolishabortionid.com. That's abolishabortionid.com. And if you go there, abolishabortionid.com, there's a printable version of the actual petition. And so you can print that out. You can print pages of that out. Start taking that around to various events or in your neighborhoods and get people's signatures. But as he also pointed out, you have to ensure that the people who sign this, they put down their address. That's required. That address has to match with their voter registration record. Otherwise, during review, that signature will be thrown out. So this is the step one. Go to the website, abolishabortionid.com. Step two, print out the pages for the petitions. Step three, start getting signatures. Step four, make sure those signatures actually have the address. Step five, that address from the person signing, that it matches their voter registration address. When they get a little over 56,000 of these, then they can get this on the ballot, not this year, but next year. And then it will be a simple up or down vote, a yes or no vote, that will actually bring this to a conclusion. Now, we're going to try to get Scott back on the line if we can before the next segment of the program. And got a couple more questions for him, too, about this. But in the meantime, short break is on the way. It's 37. Bill Colley with you on Top Story on News Radio 1310 KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com. 20 after. You know, I'd be better served. A caller the other day referenced Eddie Albert and Green Acres. I might be better served if I had Green Acres' telephone system in. You remember, they had to crawl up a high pole and talk from up at the top of it to get a telephone call through. 922, Bill Colley with you on Top Story on News Radio 1310. KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com. It's 35. One area that we didn't get into, because you can expect that the response is going to be just absolutely vicious from the left on this particular situation, and I'm going to suggest that I saw a letter writer already in the Press Tribune out of Nampa the other day that is challenging this petition drive, and I made a comment in the story online, and already the vicious attacks have started. I believe we may have Scott back on the air with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Scott, it's the second. It's probably on my end. It's the second time this morning I've had a phone dropout. So I'm assuming it's probably here in this system versus on your end. But quickly, you know, that was one area we didn't get into earlier. But before we talk about the reaction from the left, you were in the middle of a thought when we got cut off, and did you want to finish that?
Well, I don't know where I got cut off, but I was talking about the whole idea that it should be our governor and our state legislature that, in essence, no matter what a court does, defend innocent life, regardless of whether the court says that life can be taken. So our idea here is that the state governor and the legislature run the prisons and the police and the National Guard in Idaho, and they should go ahead and do what's right regardless of what a court says, and the courts don't run police or prisons or National Guards. And so it's a simple matter of defiance or ignoring a court order contrary to preserving innocent life in the state of Idaho. And now I was saying, and I don't know if you got this on the air, that Washington and Colorado do that with the legalization of the recreational use of marijuana. Why can't
sure.
we do it for something righteous?
It's nullification when you come right down to it. I mean, I guess by the old definition, it's just simply saying, you know, federal law isn't going to apply here.
That's exactly right. And that, in fact, the federal courts have gone against federal law. The actual law is the Constitution of the United States. It says there can be no deprivation of life without due process of law.
The left is fighting back already. I was referencing a letter I saw in the Nampa paper the other day, and the anger especially that I see exhibited, it always strikes me that just the notion of that of protecting the life of a little baby gets them so I mean, they're almost apoplectic about this. So once you actually start reaching, when you probably get to 45, 50,000 signatures and it looks like this is going to be a done deal, you're likely going to see them bringing in some of the opposition from across the country. That is, the heavy hitters to campaign against it. Are you prepared for that?
We have heavy hitters on our own side, but also I think the main thing that we have on our side is the truth, that human life is of value because it's made in the image of God, and so that's what we want to put out there to people. I just think that the people who criticize this, and I did see what you're talking about in the Nampa papers and elsewhere, they just happen to be a very loud, brainless, and senseless minority. And I say brainless because they just spout the things that the pro-abortion crowd has spouted. There's no critical thinking behind it. And I think the reason that we can prevail is because people, when they use their brains and use their logic, and we bring in the truth arguments, they can be persuaded. And then so you just end up with this loud minority. But I think the majority of Idaho could be persuaded to ban abortion in Idaho. And so we have people that are very capable of making that case when it comes down to the point where we have to argue for this for the general election.
Randy Staples mentioned to me yesterday during the course of a discussion about this on air that he believes, you were referencing that our government could get behind this and defend it. He said that we do likely have enough people in the legislature who would be willing to stand up and say that they will support this and do whatever they can to make sure that this law stays on the books. Do you get that feeling? I mean, I deal with people in politics a lot, and too often they're wetting a finger and seeing which way the wind is blowing. But do you have that confidence?
I do. There are people, we've talked to a number of state legislators, state senators and representatives who completely agree that abortion is murder. What is great about this initiative petition is that it puts into action what we say that we believed all along. And yes, they do wet their finger a little bit. They're not going to, unfortunately, they do consider re-election. Some of them don't. Some of them are willing to do the right thing regardless of how it affects their political careers. But the reality is the nice thing about an initiative petition is we are gathering the support of the voters that vote for them. And so when they have to stand up and defend it, they are going to know that there are 50% plus one of the Idaho voters who are going to back them up. And that's what it comes down to. We're not just going to vote for this. We are going to speak on their behalf. We're going to support them. And I think when they see that, then they're going to do the right thing.
One more time on the website, just to remind people of what that address is and how they can go about downloading petitions.
Yeah, that website is abolishabortionid.com, and you can even go to abolishabortionidaho.com, but it's abolishabortionid.com. The petition is there. It's a PDF document. It's got to be printed from that website because it has to be in a very particular format. All of the instructions are there for circulating right on that petition page where you download the PDF. You can just follow the instructions. When you fill out signature sheets, you have to get them notarized. So if you're circulating it, you get a bunch of your friends to sign it that are Idaho registered voters. Then you go before a notary and you attest that you witnessed them signing it, and you send it to our P.O. box in Hayden, Idaho, and we take care of the rest.
By the way, when our phone call dropped and you emailed me your number on the other end, the email just came through. So if there's concerns that demons are out this morning, it's not just telephones. Email is a little bit sluggish as well. And we're always facing those. I think that people in modern times don't often understand that, but they still exist, and they will do what they can to interfere with men doing the right thing. I've got to thank you for your time this morning, and I suspect we'll be talking again soon as the numbers start to move on this with a petition drive, and I really do wish you good luck.
Thank you very much. We wish God's blessings on this whole effort, I think.
Amen.
Because it honors him. Hopefully he will honor it.
Super. Scott, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Take care. Scott Herndon joining us this morning, and he's with an organization called Abolish Abortion Idaho. And as he pointed out, what they're doing is they're gathering signatures. And what they need to do is get a little over 56,000. It'll go to a vote then, a public vote, November of 2018. And Idaho could take a stand for life that resonates all across the country, if not the world. We've got your telephone calls coming up in just a moment. Some of your reaction as well.
Scott Herndon's comments that in the Roman Catholic Church, that the woman who has an abortion is generally treated as a victim, and of course we pray for them. But he said that there might be, from an official standpoint, the church might be hesitant about this because it would... Here's the thing. A few months ago, I wrote a post about abortion, and it was on our website, and it got some attention from some, even a couple of people at National Review, some of these so-called conservatives who... I came right out and said it. Look, if a woman is forced to have an abortion, that's against her will. It's not her fault. But a woman who willingly does it, if it is indeed homicide, who willingly does it, should be held responsible, not just the doctor. And I took a lot of abuse and grief. And the fear here is, among these people, and as I said, some of these are the comments came in from a couple of people who have those ties to National Review. I mean, these are your big-time Washington conservatives. They're so worried about antagonizing the left that they want to leave that detail out of that. But a 25-year-old woman who has been, and I'll just throw this out, it's not every case, and you liberals know better, but a 25-year-old woman who's been out there bed-hopping for the last 4 or 5 years, who ends up pregnant, and then decides for convenience she's going to have an abortion, if it is indeed a homicide to take the life of that unborn child, then she has, in her mind, she has formed that already. That is, it's premeditated. And it may upset some people who say, well, if we just... And I remember a pastor telling me years ago that when it came to this issue, just like Scott was saying on the air, when it came to this issue, there's not a lot of trust in the courts. It's like putting your trust in princes. And the pastor told me this, it must have been 10, 15 years ago. We're going to change men's hearts through prayer. Agree with that. I do agree with that. But if the courts would like to go along too, and their men's and women's hearts, then, you know, good. But the fact of the matter is that if it's a criminal act and you knowingly are participating in it, then you're culpable too. But I think what worries a great many people on the left and maybe even in the Roman Church is that it will create the perception, oh, they're anti-women, because that's what will happen. Rachel Maddow, who never has any fears about ever getting pregnant in her life, unless I guess it's through artificial insemination, she'll go on her program and she'll rail about, oh, typical war on women, oh, is it a mean old church, oh, backward-thinking men who run that church, you know, and look at these Republicans, oh, those evil Christians. And they're worried about that backlash from liberal media. Here's the thing. If you're on God's side and you're doing God's work, then the media be danged, right? Don't worry about them. People will understand. If we learned anything during the election year last year, and that was this, that yes, you can talk over the media and you can get your message across to the public. For years, politicians, for instance, have been so afraid about what they might say that somehow the media will then amplify it and make them look stupid and bad. Well, look, sometimes a candidate does put a foot in a mouth. That's true. But this sanitized version of politics where no one wants to say anything that could be offensive to anyone else, it has greatly turned off the American public. You know, we were talking about the Bush family earlier in the program, and Steve Heil mentioned escorting Jeb and Columba Bush to an inaugural ball back in 1985. Well, Jeb Bush would get up on stage, and it was almost as if he'd get a question, and it was almost as if it was all scripted in response. Or it was almost if the campaign had put a little man up in his head who was pulling levers, you know, say this, don't say this, say this, don't say this. And that's the problem with too many people in life today. And it's not just politicians. It's a lot of people in churches as well. And this notion that, well, they'll twist my words. Forget it. They're going to be your enemy no matter what. Because they're on the side of the dark night. And that's going to happen no matter what. You're going to, if you're going to do the right thing, then you've got to be willing to put up with the slings and arrows. I was thinking about this the other day because I wasn't born a talk radio host. I started doing radio talk shows in 2003, I guess, on a regular basis. I did a talk show which was much less political on a part-time basis in the 1990s. But when I started doing this, I knew right away I was going to take a lot of grief. But after a while, if you believe in the righteousness of your cause, you look at where that criticism is coming from and who's hurling it. And you know pretty fast, and you'll know quite quickly, that is, who those people happen to be working for. If they're not working for God, then they're working for the other guy. We've got about 20 minutes left in the program. Bill Colley with you on Top Story on News Radio 1310. And newsradio1310.com. That's newsradio1310, KLIX. Got to get the call letters in there. Because, you know, you might not know what you're listening to today if you're just a newcomer. About 20 minutes of the show still ahead. Feel free to chime in on the topic, too, if you like. Cat has your tongue, I know, this morning. Or they have really sharp claws, I know. More on the way is what I'm trying to say. I just got a headline. I get these occasionally, beep-oops, on my telephone, and I'll see a headline. And it's from Yahoo News, which is a very left-leaning news organization. And it says, Democrats prepare to grill Jeff Sessions. I guess, what's that, a human sacrifice that's taking place? But here you go again. Who cares? Answer the questions. The Republican majority can kill off any filibuster attempt, and Sessions becomes the next Attorney General of the United States. This breathless media coverage or from liberals and the like,
We have got to start, as God-fearing, decent, conservative Americans, to start why even pay attention to it? Ignore them. Again, they're working for the wrong side. That's all. 944. Bill Colley with you on Top Story this morning on News Radio 1310 KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com. It's 36. Thanks for joining us this morning. And, of course, if you'd like to reach the program, 736-0300. I agree. There maybe not has been any specific theme to the show this morning because we've covered some divergent territory. I guess I'll put it that way. A wildly divergent territory in the matter of the course of the last couple of days, especially today. But more than willing to hear you out, especially in the stretch run of the program today, really on any topic we were talking about. You're up next. You're on KLIX.
Hey, Bill. I just wanted to mention about the abortion thing. You know, it's okay to, you know, have that, you know, petition and that to sign. But, you know, the left in this country, the left is the only organization that is able to commit hate crimes and get away with it. Can you imagine if they got their address? See, they have to put their address. It got hacked and they got their address. I don't know how crucial it would be, but, you know, these people are, they're just, they'll do anything, you know?
Well, if you remember, was it Proposition, and there was a vote a few years ago, I don't remember the exact number on it, in California, about a decade ago to ban same-sex marriage. And Lefty went out there and started contacting the people whose signatures were on the petitions and making threats and the like. So you're right. It there's a history of this. The thing is, when you just about every leftist I have ever met, they're very loud, they're very mouthy, but they're as timid as a field mice if you approach them one-on-one. These are not people that would give you a lot of grief if you stood up to them and threw your chest out at them. They'll turn and run, and they'll be wetting themselves the whole way down the street while they're doing it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, thank you. You know, it's not like if they met you in an alley, they're all of a sudden all that muscle they had is just going to just fade away. I mean, it'll just come running down their legs into a puddle on the floor. You're up next. You're on the air with Bill Colley on KLIX at 946.
Yeah, Bill, listen, I just want to, first of all, say thanks for taking up such a topic as this and bringing it before the public's eye. And I want to, I have the privilege of pastoring here in the Twin Falls area, and I want to encourage anyone to say this is the moment we need to get involved in these kinds of matters. And so let me just encourage everyone who's listening, encourage your church. Don't be afraid of the government in this matter. They cannot, and they may try, but they can't do anything to hurt our causes in the gospel work. But I want to encourage anyone listening, you got to get in on this. This is the opportunity we have, and we don't go in demanding anything from anyone. We just go in and make sure our voice is heard. And it's like the old adage or the old way of saying it, that you can't stop someone from jumping off a cliff, but you can sure do all you can to warn people that there's a cliff that they're about to jump off of and make sure that if they jump off of it, they got to jump over you.
I got to remind people too, if you, not to embarrass you, but Paul Thompson on the phone with us.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And as you said a few weeks ago, right here on the show, don't be worried about this Johnson Amendment, because if you really read into it, it's not about gagging people in church. That's not really what's happening here. And we've been walking on thin ice because of this for years, and we probably didn't need to.
Right. That's exactly right. So thanks, Bill, for bringing the topic up and being brave enough to put it out in front of everybody.
I would think that, as I pointed out in our conversation with Scott, that if just word of mouth gets around in churches, even at, you know, at coffee afterward, or when you're getting together with people for breakfast afterward, this is the way this is going to spread. And I would imagine you'll see the same too in your congregation, and it won't take long before, you know, the old shampoo commercial, I told two friends and they told two friends.
You're right. Right.
And you'll have that sort of a pickup that goes on with us.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you much for the call, sir. Good hearing from you. Coming up on 949, Bill Colley with you on Top Story on News Radio 1310 KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com.
I have a friend, actually he's been in the hospital the last couple of weeks, but it looks like he's going to recover. He's 78 years old. God bless him that he is still politically active. He is now blind and he is in a wheelchair. His name is Billy Cuffs. He lives in a small town in upstate New York, Auburn, New York, about a population, well, I think the population there, because people left because of government policy and taxation and the like, used to be about 40,000 people. City now, maybe a little over 20,000. But Billy grew up there, and he was a prison guard, and he owned a newspaper stand, and had a lot of different background in his life. He was one of the founders of New York State's Conservative Party way back in 1962, because the Republicans there were so liberal, they created a very viable Conservative Party. Actually, they got one of theirs elected to the U.S. Senate one time. And nearly in 1990, the Conservative Party candidate for governor polled equally with the Republican candidate. Unfortunately, the combined total still didn't defeat the then Democrat governor of the state. But Billy, he came down with diabetes and was diagnosed in his early 60s, and then he lost a foot, and so he's in a wheelchair, and then he lost his eyesight. But I've got to give him credit. He told me a story about 10 years ago. He went to a public meeting. It was a public hearing going on, and he said one of these loud liberals was there screaming and yelling and screaming about war on women, war on this, war on that, evil Republicans. And Billy rolled his chair out and challenged the guy. The guy backed down. Billy said to me, he said, for all of his tough talk, he said, when confronted by an old blind man in a wheelchair, he didn't have anything to say. Now, yes, they'll make a lot of noise. When I commented, a letter writer had, I was mentioning this in the last half hour, a guy wrote a letter to the Napa newspaper. I saw it on the online version. It's called the Press Tribune, I believe. I saw the letter, and I commented. And all of a sudden, the vitriol started from the leftists about what I had said, because I had said there was scientific evidence that would back up that the babies do feel pain in the womb during this procedure. Well, that made them angry. Where is your evidence? I mean, I could go pull up dozens of studies, all of which they will ignore because they'll claim, well, yes, but that's a study from Liberty University or Bob Jones University, so it can't be trusted. Well, a scientist is a scientist is a scientist, no matter what church they go to or whether they go to church or not. And if the papers have been peer-reviewed, and the peer review says, yeah, it's true, no matter what you liberals claim about the author, there's some backing to it. And you've got to pay attention to it. You know, might even call it settled science, which you people all love when it comes to climate change. But they all started screaming and yelling. But the thing is, if I was face-to-face with them on a stage having a debate about this, for all of their bluster, they would fold their tents so quickly and they would slink away like a shamed dog does after it's left a bad mess on the carpet. And we've all been there before, because you'll see these people in these, and the ones who do tend to get violent, I think it's rare, but the ones who have tended to do it, it's usually a quick-hitting attack and off they run. It's, you know, they're not going to stick around for the main event. And we're not recommending anybody get into any violent confrontation with these people, but I'm telling you that all you have to do is stand up for some sort of principle. And thinking about this, because we just had a pastor on the air, I was a little boy, and I can remember back in the days of black and white TV. I'm really old. But there used to be a television spot, and it was like a public service announcement, but it was paid for, obviously, by a church. And you saw a fellow sitting in his chair in his living room, and he's watching a movie on television. And in the movie, the Christians are being mauled in the arena by lions. And the guy shifts back and forth uncomfortably in his seat while he's watching this. And then a voiceover says, "It wasn't always easy being a Christian." And the guy shifts in his seat again, and then it says, "And it still isn't." So, yes, it doesn't matter. People are going to spit at you. They may not, they throw things. They'll yell at you. They'll call you names. At least they're not sicking lions on you today. But you know what? It didn't matter to those early Christians, because their faith was so strong
And the promise was so strong that they were willing to give it up and die painfully and violently for what they believed. That itself tells us a lot about today and the fact that the political class, and I think it was good that our guest commented that some of them will stand up for this in Idaho, and that they'll get behind it. But yes, there are going to be those who are going to be looking around, testing which way the wind is blowing, and trying to appease the local newspaper editorial board. Well, the editorial board, it's not going to heaven with you, okay? Let me put it that way. And I'm struck as I'm using a lot of analogies to entertainment today, but I mentioned this one before on the radio. And it's probably my favorite movie of all time. It's A Man for All Seasons. And Sir Thomas More, who won't go along with the king's divorce, it's all about Henry VIII, and he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn and set aside his previous wife. And because of that, Henry named himself the supreme head of the church in England. Now, you can have your religious differences, and you can, I'm not here to argue that and anybody's church being one better over another. But More was a guy, his own individual conscience wouldn't allow him to throw his church overboard in support of his king, because he thought his church was obviously the bride of Christ and that therefore was bigger than any earthly being. He's being interviewed by his inquisitors while he's been in prison because of what he's done. And they're trying to tell him that he's just got to go along to get along. And his buddy, the Duke of Norfolk, slides across the document on the table and says, "Oh, come on now, Thomas. Just sign and go along with the rest of us for fellowship." And Thomas says, "If I sign and go along for fellowship and that condemns my soul to hell, will you go along with me for fellowship?" And with that, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer says, "Do you think we're all going to hell?" And Thomas says, "I don't know about you. I only know about my own conscience, and I have to protect it." And that's the important part of this. And these are all things that have to be this issue. This country, you can measure it exactly. The same year that we had Roe v. Wade came down from the court, we had the Arab oil embargo, the first one. And things in this country have never, ever really been as good. Now, is there a causal relationship? Think about that. Got about a minute and a half. We've got a caller with us. Caller, we'll make you the final voice of the day. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the story that you're telling, ISIS is doing that to Christians right now.
Sure. I just read a report yesterday or the day before that said, my sister told me about it, in fact, that last year Christians were the most persecuted, violently persecuted people around the globe, more so than any other group. And yet, it's just something we have to learn to live with. It's part of the faith. And I thank you much for the call and tuning in this morning. But these are all things. I've been a talk radio host, as I mentioned now, off and on. I have to say that because it's not been an unbroken line. In fact, I had a liberal make fun of me online in a chat room the other day, call them chat rooms, in a comment section of Facebook it was, because I lost my last job. They used the excuse that I was making too much money, but I knew they wanted me out of the way because they thought I was too controversial. And it was the same excuse at the previous talk radio station. Sometimes you have to stand up for things. I was left homeless for a period of time in 2006 because of a situation, but I stood up for what I believed in. And today I don't have to, I don't have any problems going to bed at night thinking maybe I should have just caved. And that's important to me. And I suspect as well to many of you out there. And my dad was the same way. He had a lot of faults in his life. He had a great many faults in his life. But one of them was he was never a sellout to anything. And if he had been, he could have died a rich man and could have lived a rich man long before he died. But he just couldn't bring himself to do it. It ran against his conscience. God willing, the creek don't rise. They'll allow me to come back and do this all over again tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 o'clock. Right here on News Radio 1310, KLIX and NewsRadio1310.com. Bill Colley with you this Tuesday, followed by Rush Limbaugh just after 10 o'clock news this morning from Fox. Sean Hannity at 1 o'clock, Glenn Beck at 4 o'clock, and Dave Ramsey tonight from 7 until 10.
That was Bill Colley on 1310 AM in Idaho Falls, Idaho, just within the last couple of weeks, talking for his whole hour of 1 hour of his program about the petition to abolish human abortion in the state of Idaho. Make it first-degree murder, and you can get more information on that petition again at abolishabortionid.com. I have to make one correction. I did tell him on his program, but I'll say it again because I heard him mention it again later in that hour. On the Johnson Amendment, which was from 1954, all that did was change the U.S. tax code and prohibit certain tax-exempt organizations from endorsing and opposing political candidates. It does not apply to ballot initiatives or advocating on behalf of political issues. And I'm not calling abortion a political issue, but in this case, it is a ballot initiative to abolish abortion and treat it as first-degree murder in state code. And on our website, abolishabortionid.com, on our frequently asked questions page, we actually give you the chart from the Internal Revenue Service that tells if you are a church, a 501c3 in particular. It tells you how much of your budget and your time, your staff time, that you can actually spend pursuing a single ballot initiative, no less, or advocating or lobbying for any political cause. You can do that. The Johnson Amendment did not prohibit it. They only tried to prohibit your endorsement and talking about certain political candidates, not political issues or ballot initiatives. So check that out on our website, frequently asked questions on abolishabortionid.com. And thanks for listening to this edition of Abolitionist Radio, the special edition. We appreciate Bill Colley's support, and we also appreciate Paul Thompson, the pastor that called in down there from Eastside Baptist Church in Twin Falls, Idaho. We look forward to working with them and spreading the word about the initiative petition to abolish abortion in Idaho.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for.
Thank you for listening to Abolitionist Radio on the Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network. To learn more, visit abolitionistradio.com and abolishhumanabortion.com.
Keep me quiet, I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Oh, 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 oh.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.